We continue learning Masechta Ksuvos Daf Kuf Dalad. We're up to Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, 6 lines from the bottom. We continue learning the Gemaras about the Ptira of Rebbe and the various things that he said and did as he was about to leave the world. Amlehen, so he said, L'bni Katan Ani Tzarech. I need my youngest son, Reb Shimon. And Mefarshim explained why he asked for his youngest son before his oldest son. One pshat is, as we learned in the previous year, since really Reb Shimon was the bigger chacham of the two children, so he therefore asked for him first. And particularly, as Mefarshim explained, Reb Shimon should have perhaps become the nasi, as some sort of a consolation prize. He told him, I'm going to speak to you first. Rav Shimon came in, and he gave him over to him the various things of Chachma. Farshim explained the various things of Chachma include different sidus, different secrets that are that were given from father to son, generation to generation. And then he says, I need my oldest son. Rav Gamliel comes in. And he gave over to him how a nasi is supposed to act. Amalai b'ni nahoy nasi oscha b'ramim. Act as a nasi b'ramim. Act b'ramim, so there's a number of pshatim. Rashi says b'ramim means that you should surround yourself. If you want to be an effective leader, you should surround yourself with great people. B'ramim, great people. There's another beautiful pshat from the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma says that in order for a leader to be an effective leader, he has to recognize that this position that he received is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not because he's so talented, because he's so smart. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to have this position. Nahoig Nisiyascha, take your leadership position, but always remember Beramim, that you got this from Moroim, you got this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Huttner writes in a letter to a Talmud. There was a Talmud of his who was becoming a Rav of a community, and he asks Rav Huttner to give him guidance how to be an effective Rav. So Rav Huttner uses this Gemara, but the way he explains it very beautifully, he says as follows. He says, particularly in the old world, every city had a clock on top of the tallest building. He says, a Rav should be like that clock. What are the characteristics of that clock? Number one, the clock is all the way up. So whenever somebody has to look at the clock, he has to look up. And number two, since the clock is not accessible, you can never move it. A clock that's right on, a watch that's right on my hand, I could always play around with it. This clock I can't reach. He says, that's the way an effective rabbi is supposed to be. Everybody should look up to the rabbi. He should have the respect of the entire community. But moreover, he should not be able to be moved around, just like pushed around. He should be firm in his belief and firm in the way he acts. Zroik Marab Talmidim. So Pash Pshat is that you should have the Talmidim fear you. Others say Pshat is that the Gemara says that the liver is what causes anger. And when the anger comes to a person, some bile, some marah, penetrates the liver and calms it down. A person, when he's learning with Talmidim, should never get angry. Another pshat that I saw from the Yaris Tavash is that typically when Talmidim begin to learn Gemara, so it's foreign subject and it's difficult to comprehend. So he says, right Mara b'Talmidim, you should tell the Talmidim that when you begin learning, it's Mara. It's sometimes bitter. But at the end, you will have enjoyment from your learning. Ask the Gemara, any v'ksivas yirei Hashem yichabeit. Here it says you should be strong. The Pasuk says, v'zirei Hashem yichabeit. V'ma ma'azei yishofet melech Yehuda. It refers to yishofet melech Yehuda. K'shei yiroi Talmud Chochem, when he would see a Talmud Chochem, haya oimed mekisoi, o mechapkoi, o menashkoi. When he see a Talmud Chochem, he would hug him and kiss him. V'koyloi Rebbe, Rebbe, Mari, Mari. So you see how much love he showed to Rebbe, not this tough position. Answers the Gemara, like Kasha. Habit, sinah b'feresia. publicly, a leader has to act according to his position. Privately, he has to show great love to his talmidim. I saw from the Michas Yitzchak, he says a beautiful pshat. Habit sinem b'faresia. A person, especially in a position of leadership, has to sometimes be tough. But b'tzina, even when he's acting strongly, b'tzina in his heart, he always has to remain soft. That should not become what he is. And the Mefarshim say there's actually a raya in the Torah to this type of action. It says at the end of the Torah, L'chol ayod chazaka, asha osa Moshe, l'enei kol Yisrael. When did Moshe act b'yod chazaka, with a strong arm, l'enei kol Yisrael? Where it was a public, he was yod chazaka. Otherwise, Moshe was this great soft person. And in fact, the Mefarshim ask, here he was saying that a leader has to act with this strength. Yet in Pirkei Avos it says so many times, Rabbonis Mekaveris Espala, Sneis HaRabbonis. So Mefarshim say there's a difference. If someone is appointed to a position, so then he has to act according to the position he was appointed to. But a person who wasn't appointed to that position and acts as if he has the position, that is inappropriate. There's an interesting chidah that wants to use this last piece of Gemara to discuss an interesting shaila. He says, what's the halacha if somebody's holding a Sefer Torah? He got Hagbah and he's holding a Sefer Torah, or he's holding a Sefer Torah while they're reading from another Sefer Torah, and somebody passes by for whom he has to stand up. His Rebbe passes by. Do you stand up when you're holding a Sefer Torah? So he tries to bring a raya from this Gemara. Because this Gemara says that Yehoshaphat, who is a melech, and we know that the Torah says that a melech always carried a Sefer Torah, would get up when a Talmud Chacham passed. So we see that even though he's carrying a Sefer Torah, he gets up out of respect for another Talmud Chacham. But then he says that the proof is not necessarily conclusive, because he says that that the Sefer Torah that a king had was a very small Sefer Torah. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin discusses this, that was tied to his hand. So it could be then he could get up. But if one is actually just holding a Sefer Torah, he doesn't have to get up even when a Talmud Chacham passes. Tanya. Rebbe Mutal B'Tzipuri. Rebbe was sick. He was in Tzipuri, in the city of Tzipuri. U'makim mucham b'Beis Sharim. But his makim kfura was in Beis Sharim. Ask the Gemara, V'tanya tzedek tzedek tirdoich, holach ach Rebbe l'Beis Sharim. Rebbe lived in Beis Sharim. So how does the Gemara say that he wasn't Tzipuri? Answers the Gemara. Rebbe Beis Sharim Hava. Rebbe lived in Beis Sharim. However, El Kivin the Cholish, when he got sick, they brought him to Tzipuri, the medallia of Basim Ir. It's high up and had very crisp, good ear. And that's where he would be more comfortable, versus Beis Sharim, which is a very humid climate. Says the Gemara, Hu Yoyim Denoch Nefesh the Rebbe. The day the Rebbe passed away, Gozer Rabbanim Tamnesa. Rabbanim made a tainus, or bar rachmi, and they davened. Vamri, and they made the following announcement. Kol man the omer noch nafshe the Rebbe, whoever will say the Rebbe passed away, yedok becherev, should be killed. And Farshim tried to understand why. Isn't that the way of the world that everybody passes? So the Shita says an interesting pshat. The Shita says that they knew that Rebbe's going to die. But once Rebbe dies, we no longer mispallel on his behalf. They wanted that the people should continue being mispallel even after he dies, with the hope that those tefillahs would accomplish, the Rebbe would have tchiyas ha-meisim. So they wanted they should continue davening. Others say pshatim as follows. We know that a tzaddik, even after he leaves this world, still could do for us in the Olam Ha'emes. Actually, he maybe could do more for us. He's close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, Hai man, whoever says the noch nafshe the Rebbe's dead, he can no longer do anything for us, yedaka becherev. That is a fundamental apikorsis in the power of a tzaddik after he leaves. Another pshat, which is somewhat connected to the Gemara that we learned yesterday. We learned in the previous year that even after Rebbe left the world, he still came back to make kiddush. He still came back to this world. Whoever says the Rebbe is dead and will never come back, he left this world completely, that yedaka becherev. The Rebbe le'igro. So Rebbe's slave woman went up to the roof. Amr al Yoidim of Akshmas Rebbe, in the Oilam Emes they want Rebbe, Vatachtonim of Akshmas Rebbe, and here in this rule they want Rebbe. Yeropsun Shia Koifu Tachtonis al Yoidim. Halavai that the people in this world should prevail. Kim de Chazoi, Kam Zimni de Ail Besakise. Rebbe had a stomach ailment, and he had to go to the bathroom very often. The Cholot Tfilin Umanachluhu. And he wore tefillin, and as Tosfos explains, even though typically somebody with a stomach ailment doesn't wear tefillin all the time, because he can't, says Tosfos, that's because such a person typically cannot watch that his body remain clean. Rebbe, however, even if he was sick, was able to watch himself, but every time he went to the bathroom, he had to put on and take off the tefillin, the kometzar, and he was very uncomfortable. Rebbe should leave the world. So this is the basis, I'm not going to go into it in great depth, for a very important shaila. The Ran says, based on this Gemara, that if a person is suffering, you're allowed to daven that he should leave the world. We shouldn't continue suffering. The Shevet Alevi says that not everybody can make that decision. Who is suffering that much that we should daven that he should die? Amsi, the Rebbe, as we see, was a very special person. She was able to make that decision. Not everybody can make that decision. The Tzitz Eliezer says a fascinating pshat. He says as follows. He says, even in a time where we're allowed to daven for a person to leave the world, that's people who are not family members of the sick person. A family member who davens, somebody could say he's davening because this is already too much for him to have to take care of this ill person. So when he's davening, one can be concerned that he's really has himself in mind. Only somebody who doesn't really have any direct relationship should daven. And Ramosha discusses this in the Tshuva. In the Tshuva, this is a shaila that was asked about somebody who's terminally ill. Do we have to continue treating him or not? So Ramosha says, certainly it's usur to do anything to bring about death. In terms of prolonging life, and again, this is not a shaila that's going to be passed in this year, but in terms of prolonging life, he says, if the person is terminally ill and in great pain, he says, certainly we should try to alleviate the pain in any way possible, but to have to necessarily do and give medications or treatments that will prolong life, that is a painful life that's terminal anyway, under certain circumstances, Ramosha says you don't have to do it. And it's based on this Gemara. However, the Loyavashatsky Rabbanim Maboy Rachmim, the Rabbanim was still davening, and since they were davening, the Malachamovas couldn't get to Rebbe. Shaklish Kuza, so this slave woman took a barrel, Shagyama Igral Ara, she threw it from the roof to the floor, Ishtiku Mirachmi, so they stopped from because of the noise, and Vinoch Nafshi the Rebbe, and Rebbe passed away. Amalei Rabbanim Lebakapara, so Rabbanim said to Bakapara, Zil Ayin, they wanted to see what happened. Go see what's doing with Rebbe. Ozel Ashkechei Vinoch Nafshi, and he saw that Rebbe had passed away. Kari Lelevushe, so he ripped kriya. The halach is that when the Gol Hador is nifty, you have to rip kriya. The hadra lekare lachurei, and then he put it back up, sewed it back up. Pasach va'omer, and he said, "Arilim mitzukim achsav aron hakodesh." A tzaddik is considered like an aron. Why? Because all of us have a neshama. A neshama is a chelik elokam emal. But if we treat our neshama properly, then our neshama is the sefer Torah. And our guf is the Aron HaKodesh for that Sefer Torah. So now, Arelim are the Malochim, Umetzukim are the Tzadikim, both are grabbing onto the Aron HaKodesh. Notzchu Arelim as a Metzukim, the Malochim prevailed, the Nishba Aron HaKodesh. Omlei Noch Nafshei, so they asked him, does it mean he died? Omlei Atem Kamrisu Vano Lokamina. I didn't say it explicitly. Why didn't he say it explicitly? So Mepharshim say, because two reasons. One is because we learned that they said, whoever says Noch Nafshi the Rebbe, Yadoka Becherif. So he didn't want to say out from his mouth the Rebbe died because he didn't want to have this punishment. Another pshat, which is relevant, La'aloch L'maisa, one should never be the one to bear explicitly the bad tidings that someone passed away. And therefore, if you look in the Paiskin discuss that even if someone's close relative passed away, one should avoid being the one carrying the message that the relative passed. Even by a son, they say by a son it's different. You could tell a son because the son should be able to say Kaddish for the Nifter. But even by a son on Yontif, you don't say it. I saw interesting that in Europe, the minhag was that if somebody passed away, so they used to wake up, they used to have a person going from house to house in the morning, knocking on the window to wake up the people to go to shul. So on a day when somebody died, they used to only give two claps. Like that, people knew that somebody passed away, but they didn't say it explicitly. In fact, I saw very interesting, the minhag that still exists till this day in Yerushalayim, that when someone is nifter, they put up signs, came because of this Gemara. They never wanted to explicitly say one person to another that somebody died, so they just put up signs, and like that everybody knew that this person died, rather than saying it explicitly. There's a beautiful pshat from the Yaris Tavash on this Gemara. He says that what did he do? He Bakapara ripped Kriya, and then he sewed it up. What's pshat in that? Pasha pshat is because he didn't want, if he had ripped Kriya and left it that way, they would all obviously know, and he didn't want to break it to them so suddenly. But another pshat, the Yaris Tavash says is as follows. The people who lived in the generation of Rebbe, although a terrible tragedy, Rebbe passed away, they still had the opportunity, the privilege of seeing Rebbe. People in later generations will have never had that privilege. So he said to them like this, Rebbe died. It's a terrible tragedy. We ripped Kriya. But you know what? At least we had the opportunity that we saw Rebbe. And that will remain with us forever. And we therefore sew up the Kriya. But in future generations, they're going to have a Kriya that can't be fixed. Because those future generations will have never had the opportunity to have seen Rebbe and have learned from him. Says the Gemara, B'shas p'tirasa shel Rebbe, as Rebbe was about to leave the world, Zokav etzer etzbois of Klabat Mala, he picked up his 10 fingers. Amar Rebbeinu Shlom Golav Yedula Fanecha, you are well aware, Shigati be'etzer etzbois b'tayra, I use my 10 fingers for Torah. Pasht Pshat is he wrote the very Torah with his fingers. V'leinanesi afilu be'etz b'ktan, I didn't have any Hanon this world. Yirotzen mefanech she sholem b'menuchasi. I should go in peace. So Tosfos asks, how could Rebbe say that he didn't have any pleasure in this world? We know that the Gemara says that Rebbe was the man, the Rebbe was the one that had riches, like paskim, shulchanet, snoim, v'chazeres. He had all the delicacies in the world. So how do we say that he didn't have any Hanon? So Tosfos says all these delicacies that were on his table were for guests. He ate nothing. Another pshat that the Gra says, that the Pasuk says, B'chol d'rechecha de'eyu. The Gemara doesn't say, lo yachalti, he says. The Gemara says, lo nanesi. To eat good food, in order that we should be able to be strong to serve Hashem, is nothing wrong. On the contrary, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He says, lo nanesi, when I ate a good dinner, I didn't eat it because I wanted to enjoy a good steak. I ate it because I wanted to be able to have the strength to serve Hashem. Another pshat that I saw is that it's referring, we know the Rebbe was the man, was the person that wrote the Shishi Sidri Mishnah. So Rebbe says as follows. He took his 10 fingers and he says, I wrote the Shishi Sidri Mishnah with these 10 fingers. But typically when one writes a sefer or a book, what's the first thing he does? He copyrights it. Rebbe says, I didn't copyright the Shishi Sidri Mishnah. I didn't write the Sforim that I should become famous with them, that I should become wealthy. I wrote Shishi Sidri Mishnah. I did it just, Lo Nanesi. I did it just for the purpose that Klal Yisrael should have this Torah. Yotzu Baskov Amra, Yavar Sholom Yenucha Al Mishkavaisam. Ask Gemara Al Mishkavchum Ibaile. Why did it say Mishkavaisam Lashon Rabbim? So as my first one say, what about Yenuchu Lashon Rabbim? So Yenuchu refers to the Neshama and the Guf. But what's Mishkavaisam? Says the Gemara Masailei L'Rav Chiya Bagamda. Damar Rav Chiya Bagamda Amar Rabbi Yosi Ben Shol. B'shoa Sha Tzadik Niftam Noilam. When a Tzadik passes away, Omer Malach Hashem Fene Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Tzadik Ploini Bo. This Tzadik is coming. So I saw the Mefarshim explain. We all remember in Parshas Bereishis, the Medrash says, there was a debate between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Malachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let's create man. And the Malachim say, man, what good could come from man? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, there will be people in generations who will be tzaddikim. So here the Malachim are admitting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you were right. Tzaddik ba. There was a person that lived his life in this world and he remained and he became a tzaddik. Let the tzaddikim who are in the oilam ha'emes come out to greet him. Let him come in peace. And then after they greet them, they greet the tzaddik, yinucha mishkavaisam, all the tzaddikim go back to their resting place. Amar b'lozer, v'shosh ha-tzaddik niftam al-oilam, when a tzaddik leaves the world, sholosh kita shemalachi ha-sharois, yoitzis l'krosai, three groups of malachim go to greet him. Achas ha-meres lo'ibob b'sholoim, v'achas ha-meres lo'holuch n'choichoi, he should come straight, v'achas ha-meyovu sholom yinucha mishkavaisam. So the Eitz Yosef explains Peshat in the Gemara, that when a tzaddik leaves the world, he's concerned about three things. Number one, he's concerned he shouldn't go to Gehenna. Number two, he's concerned that even when he's going to Gan Eden, he should be able to get to Gan Eden straight without any obstacles. And number three, he's concerned that he shouldn't suffer from Chibud HaKever, that the body in the Kever should have a final peaceful rest. So that's what Gemara says, the Tzaddikim tell him. Number one, Baba Shalom, you're going to come to Gan Eden. Number two, Halach Nechaychay, you should reach Gan Eden without any obstacle, and Yenucha Mishkevaisam, you shouldn't have Chibud HaKever. However, B'shosh, Rosh Nevim Noilam, when a Rosh leaves the world, Sholosh Kitoi Shemalachi Chavola, Yoitzel Sukrosai. Just the opposite. Achas Ameres, Ein Shalom Oma Hashem L'Rishoam, V'achas Ameres L'matzei V'yishkav, V'achas Omer R'dei V'ashkei V'asareilim, you will not have a peaceful rest. Says the Mishnah. As we learned in the previous Mishnah, when a husband passes away, the wife is entitled to support, and she's also entitled to ksuba. Says the Mishnah, Kovman Shiva Besaviyah. As we learned also, sometimes the woman, the wife, goes back to her home, to father's home. Sometimes she stays in the home of the Yisoyman. Says the Mishnah, Kovman Shiva Besaviyah, as long as she's in her father's home, Goivik Sabas Loilam, she has the right to make the ksuba request forever. However, Kovman Shiva Besbala, if she's living in the home of her, of the Yisoyman, Goivik Subasim Ad Esim V'chameh Shana. She has a 25-year statute of limitation. Remeya says, during those years that she's living in this house, it's inevitable that she used some of their money to give tzedakah, to give money to a neighbor. So over 25 years, she depleted the value of a ksuba, and therefore after 25 years, she's no longer entitled to it. Just the opposite. Kozman Shirim Bayis Bala, as long as she's in her husband's home, Bari Yisoyimim, Goyvik Subas Loilom. However, Kozman Shirim Bayis Aviyo, once if she's in her father's home, Goyvik Subas Ad Esav Chamei Shonim. What's the explanation of the Chachamim? The explanation of the Chachamim is as follows. If a woman is by her father's home, and for 25 years she didn't ask for the Ksuba, we assume she was Meichel. She forgave the obligation. When she's in their home, we say that she really didn't forgive. Why didn't she ask for it? Why didn't she say anything? Because she's embarrassed. They're supporting her, so she's embarrassed to say, you know, you owe me money also. So Mefarshim say, what's the right thing to do? She doesn't have to necessarily take them to Beis Din, but as long as during the period of the 25 years, she mentions, you know, there is a debt still due, that starts the clock ticking again, and there's no statute of limitations. Mefarshim ask, make two observations. Number one, from here we see that Mechila doesn't require a kinyan. Because if the concern is that she was Meichel, where's the kinyan? It's a proof that Mechila doesn't require a kinyan. However, the Tzais asks a different question. Even if we say that Mechila doesn't require a kinyan, Mechila has to be articulated. She never said she was Meichel. So how do we know she was Meichel? Says the Tzais, in the name of the Marit, a very big chiddush. He says, when we're sure that something happened, it doesn't have to be said. We're so positive that 25 years passed and she didn't ask for the ksuba, it must be because she was Meichel. And therefore, even if she didn't articulate it, it doesn't make a difference. Now, Mesa, when she dies, Yosheh maskin ksubas arachas v'chamesh shanim. The same thing applies to her Yarshim. If for 25 years they didn't ask for the ksuba, it's a proof they were Meichel. If they didn't ask, then it's a proof that they were Meichel. And again, the Rishonim say, the 25 years of the Yarshim don't combine with her 25 years. They're two different groups. Even though the Miri says they do combine, most Rishonim say they're coming with two different situations, and those 25 years don't combine. Similarly, the Rishonim and the Paiskim discuss, could the 25 years, let's say part of the 25 years she was by her husband, and 25 in the husband's home, part of the 25 years she was in the father's home, do they combine? Also, the Paiskim say they do not combine. And again, the Yashin don't have to go to Beis Din. As long as they just make note, you know, you still owe us the money, that's enough. Amalei Abaye L'Rav Yosef. So Rav Meir said that what's shot the 25 years? Because 25 years in her father's, in the husband's home, she must have depleted the ksuba. So the Gemara asked the obvious question. A Nish of Yisrael, a poor woman, has a very minimal ksuba. Adesim Chamesh Shalom. So it says 25 years it gets depleted. Masa Baspasis, who is an extremely wealthy woman and had an extremely valuable ksuba, also at Esrim V'chameh Shonim. How do we say that the same huge number gets depleted in the same amount of years? Omle Lefum Gimel Shechna. Says the Gemara, according to the camel is the weight. A poorer woman has a smaller ksuba and also gives out less money. And therefore, in 25 years, that money is depleted. A wealthier woman, yes, has a larger ksuba. Yes, but she also gives out more money every year, and it gets depleted in the same 25 years. Ask the Gemara, Barlul Rameya, Masha Tashlish. According to Rameya, the concern is that she spends money from the ksuba until it's depleted. So let's say she didn't wait 25 years to ask for ksuba. She waited 10 years. Do we prorate the ksuba, or do we say, at the end of 25 years, you lose it before you lose nothing? And the Gemara says, take her. The Chama calls man. The Chama say, man is just the opposite. In her husband's home, she is embarrassed to ask for it, but she's not Meichel. In her father's home, the fact that she didn't ask is a raya that she was Meichel. Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef. Asik Kodem Shkiyas HaChama. Listen to this, asked the Gemara. If she came right before Shkiyah of the 25th year, she gets the whole Ksuba. Goyvi Ksubasa. La'acha Shkiyah Ksachama. If she comes a moment after the Shkiyah, Le'gavya. By he purta chelta, is that one moment, the moment when she was meichel the ksuba? And the Paiskim and the Mefarshim point out, why does it say shkia not seis? Because once it's already shkia, so it's already a shaila that's past 25 years, so the yisoyim are holding the money, and it's too late for her to collect. Amalei in. So he says, yes, kol mitzvah chacham heini. That's how it works with all shiurim. The loch is babom soivot toivel. A kosher mikvah has to have 40 soivot mikvah. Water. Babom so chosif kurtiv. If it's missing the smallest amount, any yochel litvo, then it's not a kosher mikvah. So the mefarshim, the sheet, the Rabbi Chanan asks, what's the Gemara's question? Every shear works that way. If you have to eat a kazayis, and if you eat less than a kazayis, you weren't mekayim a mitzvah. What's the Gemara's shaila before shkia, after shkia? So Rabbi Chanan explains, when something has to do with a shear, with a measurement, so that's something that we could all understand. That Chazal said that this is the shear, less is too little, and more is fine. But when here we're not dealing with a shear. Here we're dealing with something that has to do with someone's das, with someone's thinking. So the Gemara's question is, did that split second make the difference? And the Gemara answers, that's how Chazal established all shiurim. It has nothing to do with seichel. It has to do, this is the way a shear works. Amar Yehuda Merav. Hey, Rabbi Shmo Rabbi Yosi, Lefnei Rabbi, Shamer Shem Oviv. Loi Shana Alish Ein Shtak Subitachs Yodel. When is Al Gemara saying that there's a concern that she was Moichel the Ksuba if she doesn't actually have a Ksuba document? And as we learned earlier in the Masech, the Taisus refers to this, that a woman could collect the Ksuba even without the document, because she could collect it with the Tanai Beis Din. Al Shtak Ksuba Yotzibitachs Yodel, if she has actually a document, then she's relying on the ksuba, and we don't say that she was meichlet. Rebelezer disagrees. I feel a shtak ksuba yoytim taksi yadel. Even if she's actually holding on to the document, ain't a goiva ola at esrim v'chameshonim. She has this 25-year statute of limitations. Most of Rav Sheshes asks Rav Sheshes, the Brisa says, b'choyf shloy baskara. A b'choyf could collect his debt, even if he didn't say anything during any amount of time that the money is owed to me. Ask the Gemara, Hechidami, what is the situation of the Baal Chayif? Either Loi Nokut Shtara, if he's not holding a document, but my Govi, you can never collect without a document. Elder Nakachtara. It must be that he's holding the document. And what does the Braisa say? Strictly about Chayiv, who the La Bar Cholahu. A person whose money is owed to him doesn't typically forgive a debt. Ha Amana, Achilta. An Amana is Meichel, even if she's holding on to the Shtak Suba. Answers the Gemara, who Meisla of whom a Farklai. Lailam de Lai Nakachtara. The Bar Chayiv is not holding on to a Shtar. Where the other party agrees that the money is owed. So the Gemara is saying as follows. By a Bal Chayv, who has no reason to forgive a debt, so there's no statute of limitations. By a woman, there, if she's holding on to the Shtar, it's a raya that she was in Moichel. If she's holding on to the Ksuba. If she's not holding on to the Ksuba, according to the Rabbanon, there's a 25-year statute of limitations. Ask the Gemara similar question to Eretz. Vamra below shining we learned in a brisa grusha kabal chayv. A grusha who was holding on to a get, says Taisus, is treated like a bal chayv. Hey chidami, idolay nek ksuba my gavya. How does she collect the ksuba? El laf, the nikita ksuba. She's holding the ksuba. And what are we saying? Grusha idolay basa chulihu. A grusha is not going to forgive because she's not being supported. Ha amona, a chalta. So we see that Amman is always going to forgive, even if she's holding on to a shtar. Says the Gemara, "Hachinam kishchayiv moida." And there's a very important shlaw. It's not just for this Gemara. The shlaw says the Gemara asks two questions and says identical terutzim. What's the point of saying two kashas with the same terutz? We knew right away we could have given the same terutz. So the shlaw says, and this is a rule for all of Shas, it's not that the Gemara asked the question, set a terutz, and then asked another kasha, and said the same teretz again. And then we have a legitimate question, why is the Gemara repeating itself? What happened was just the opposite. They asked a number of questions, and then they gave one teretz, which is appropriate to all the questions. However, when they wrote Shas, they wanted to make it more understandable to us, so they broke it down, question, answer, question, answer. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Tani Rav Yehuda bar Kaza, B'masnisen bar Kaza, Tavik Subasa, if a woman asks for a ksuba, harei kibetchila. Anytime she asks for a ksuba, it takes the clock back, like we learned in the Mishnah, and she asks 25 years from now. Vimhoya shtak subasa yoitzim taksiyadah. Again, the same aloha. If she's actually holding on to the shtak suba, that's a proof that she wasn't meichel, and there is no statute of limitations, and goivik subasa l'oilam. Says the Gemara. Sholach Nei Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chizda Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu Kshishtak Suba Yoytz Mitach Siyod Machloikus Al Mishnah that quoted this Machloikus from Meir and Rabbonin. Is it in a situation even when she's holding a Shtak Suba or Ksheng Shtak Suba Yoytz Mitach Siyod, or is it only when she's not holding the Ksuba? However, when she's holding the Ksuba, the halacha will be that there's no statute of limitations. And furthermore, Valacha Kedivri Mi, whose opinion do we follow? Do we follow the opinion of Ramea or Rabbonim? Sholachle, so he responded to both Shilas. The statute of limitations is only applicable if she's not holding on to the Shtak Suba. But if she's holding on to the Shtak Suba, it's a proof that she wasn't Michael. Ab Shtak Suba Yotzim Taksiyoda, the gold subasal oilom. And furthermore, Allah Gedivri Chachamim. So the Shita asks, why does the Gemara have to say who the halacha is like? We have a klal in all of Torah, Yochav v'Rabim, halacha k'Rabim. So certainly, if we have a machlokes, Chachamim Rameya, we follow the opinion of Chachamim. So the Shita says, and he uses this concept, I'm not going to go through the whole Gemara again, that there was a machlokes Rameya and Rabbonon. They both knew there was a statute of limitations of 25 years. But they weren't sure where to apply the statute of limitations. But a woman who's bebeis pala, or by the woman who's based Savia. And the question was, what does the Chacham hold, what does Rameya hold? And the answer was, that the Chacham are the ones that apply the statute of limitations when she's based Savia. Says the Gemara, Kiyasar Avdimi Amr Avshim and Pazi Amr Avshim and Leib Mishim B'Kaparo. Loi Shana, this discussion that she loses her Ksuba is only regarding the Mona Messiah, the basic Ksuba she loses. Avatosis, that Yeshla she always has, we say she never, that's an extra gift from the husband to the wife that she never forgives. Even the Taisus, just like there's a statute of limitations on the Ksuba, it also is on the Taisus Ksuba. Domer Reb Aiva Om Reb Yonai Tanai Ksuba Kiksuba Domi Itma Nami Om Reb Abba Om Reb Huna Om Raf Loi Shono Elamona Masayim. That's where there's this discussion when it becomes, when she loses it. Avatosis Yeshlo Omale Rav Abel Rav Huna Omer Rav Hachi. Is this what Rav said? So now the question was, how to understand this line of Omer Rav Hachi. Omale Ishtakin Kamrit. Do you mean to say, be quiet, don't say the Rav said it, because he didn't agree with the halacha? Or Ashkin Kamrit. Or do you mean to say, oh, this is a gewaldige word, a vart, and Ashkin, give him a drink. When somebody said a good Dvar Torah, they used to give him a drink of wine. So the question is, when he said, Omer Rav Hachi, you know, what niggin should you say it? Omer Rav Hachi? Did he say it? I can't be. Or Omer Rav Hachi? It's something to repeat. Omer Ishtakin Kamina. I meant to say, it's nothing so great. Don't repeat it. Omer Rav Hachi, could you say the Rav said this? Say to Rishonim, that even though we're having a machloikas here, is there statute of limitations on the ksuba, on the Tosfos ksuba, but everybody agrees that the nichsei tzoyin barzel and the nichsei melug that a woman brings into the marriage and gets back when the marriage ends, that there's certainly no statute of limitations, and that she gets back no matter when she asks for it, how many years after the death of the husband. Says the Gemara, chamsei d'Rav Chiya Aricha, the mother-in-law of Chiya Aricha. He was called Rav Chiya Aricha either because he was very tall, or Aricha means Orich. He acted in a very upright fashion. Intis Achvei Hava was the wife of his brother. V'almona v'beis avia Hava, she was an almona who went back to her father's home. V'zona esrim chameshnin, for 25 years he supported her. He was the Yorish of his brother, her husband, and he supported her for 25 years. The Bein Nosha in her father's home. The Soif, Amrli Havli Mizoini. Then, the time, 25 years pass, and she says, still give me my Mizoinis. Amrli, Leslach Mizoini, I'm not giving you Mizoinis anymore. Havli Ksuba. So she said, okay, give me at least, pay me out my Ksuba. Amrli Loi Mizoini Islach, for like Ksuba Islach. You're no longer entitled to the Ksuba, it's past 25 years. What was his thinking? So this is the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara. Since she wasn't in his home, she was in her father's home, we follow the opinion of Chachamim. Her Chachamim hold that if she's in her father's home, if she didn't ask for 25 years, that means she was Meichel. For the 25 years, she's Meichel. But the Rishonim goes a step further. When she's Meichel Aksuba, she also is Meichel Har Mezoinis. And that's why he says, you're not entitled to anything anymore. So she took him to Ntara by Rava, by Sheila. Omle, easy gufa of the hava. Tell me exactly what happened here. Omle, zanisa esrim v'chamei shon v'bein nosha. I supported her for 25 years in her father's home. B'chayi demar, I could swear, the b'kasve am toile. Every day, I religiously carried on my shoulders her support. Amalei, so now he just did himself in. Amalei, tamamai amar abonin, kozman shi beis ba'al agoivik sabas loylem. Why did Chacham say that if she's in her husband's home, we say she was never Michael? Because Daminan, the reason she never said anything about the ksuba is mishim ksufa hu deloy tava. She's embarrassed. Here she's being treated so well, she's going to ask for the ksuba? Says the Gemara, hachinami. Here, even though she wasn't in his home, but since he was treating her so well, look how nice he treated her. Every day he carried the mezonos to her. Mishum ksufu d'loitava. So this that she didn't ask for a ksuba is only because she was embarrassed. And therefore, zil havla. You have to pay the ksuba. And as a machloikas rishonim, under what circumstances do we say this concept that even though she's living in her parents' home, but if he's supporting her, then she's embarrassed task for the ksuba, and it's a proof that she wasn't Meichel. Is it only in the case of the Gemara, where he treated her with such great respect, personally carrying the mezonos every day? But let's say he would have supported her, but not in such a nice way, then the fact that she didn't ask for the ksuba is a raya that she was Meichel? Or do we say that as long as he's supporting her, Even if he's not doing it in such a nice fashion, she's still embarrassed to ask for the ksuba. So, Zohavla, you have to pay a ksuba, and she wasn't moichel. Loy ashkech. And here, it's interesting, when I learned the Gemara, it's fascinating. Here we have a person who was such a fine person, took such wonderful care of his former sister-in-law, and now he's being very tough and doesn't want to do anything. So she takes him to the Nentaira, and the Nentaira wrote out a document that she has a lien on his assets that he owes her. Asl kamei derava. And as the Mefarshim explain, the Gemara, the Masechta Bava Metzia, discusses that if I have a judgment against you that I could take from your property, you owe me, at what point does the property get considered mine? A three-way machlokes. One shita says as soon as that document is written. Another shita says as soon as Adam signed the document. And a third opinion is only after it goes through a public announcement period. So she was on the assumption that as soon as the document is written, the properties are hers. Amalei chazimar hey asal kamei derava. So they came to Rava. Amalei hazimar heichidanan. Do you see what they did to me? Amalei shapadanach. The dintara was correct. Amalei ihoch lazily peri. All the fruit that grew on that field that was mortgaged to this obligation, the menhu yoimar hedna, from the day that that document was written till today. Amalei achvle dritach. Show me the document. Chazia, to have a kosaba, there was a clause missing from the document. Because the clause that was missing was, v'shtamudin den chosim eil the misna inen. Let's go back to the Gemara. Rav Chia was the brother-in-law. Rav Chia had two types of property. He had property that he inherited from his brother, that he now should be using to pay his sister-in-law. And he had his own property. Now, which property is mortgaged to pay the ksuba? The property that he inherited from his brother. That clause, that it should say only property that he inherited from his brother, was missing from this document. Amalei, a drachta lav shapik siva. This drachta was not properly written. Amalei, tezel a drachta. So, if you don't want to rely on the drachta, at least let me collect from the day that the public announcement period ended. Ad hashta. Amle, hani mila hechad loik siv tuus bedrachta. When could I rely on the document to some degree when there's no mistake in it? Avel hechad iksiv tuus bedrachta. But in this case, as we explained, there's an error in it, less lamba, and it's meaningless. Amle, vamahu de omer, achrai is tosaifahu. We discussed the subject many times. Every time I sell a piece of property, there's a lien on me that if that piece of property is taken away from the person who bought it, they could come and have recourse to me. And the halacha is that even if that clause is missing, Rav is the man that says it's a mistake, but it should have been there. So here too, this clause was missing from the document, but that shouldn't disqualify the document. For Mahud Omer Christ Tosoifahu. Here we can't say that it's a mistake. The Baha feel Rabbi Bashar, Rabbi Bashila Torah. This is a legitimate mistake, and therefore it's missing, disqualifies the document. Mikara Husava, because when the document was written, he figured Hani Vahani Didehu. All of these properties belong to Rav Chia. So therefore, Mali Mahani Vilalehani. That's why he didn't specify in the document that only the properties that he inherited from his brother should be mortgaged to her ksuba. But it was a mistake. Vilahi. Zim the Oslo Meshapichlehu or the Bala Machasfi. So this is what Rishonim explained this Gemara. Let's use our Gemara as an example. Rav Chia has to pay his sister-in-law ksuba. Rav Chia has properties that are his own, never had anything to do with his brother. And properties that he inherited from his brother. So what's going to happen? He's going to give a piece of property that was his to pay off the ksuba. And the person receives the ksuba and starts improving that property. Then he'll come back to Beis Din and say, no, that property she had no right to take because that wasn't property that the dead husband left. So he will have gotten that his property was improved, and then he'll give him one of the pieces of property that he inherited from his brother that he didn't do anything for. V'lahi. Zimna de Oslam Shapchluhu. He'll pay her the ksuba with property that really isn't mortgaged. She'll go and improve that property. Or the Mala Machasfi. And property that was really the husband's is poor property. Give me back that property because you never had a right to take it. And take back, and I'll take back my property that you improved. V'as lefuku laz abedina, which will cause terrible embarrassment to the Beis Din. And as the Rishonim explained, why are we worried about the Beis Din? The woman we have no rachmanis on, say the Rishonim, because she wasn't careful. She should have been careful that when she was collecting a piece of property, she should have taken the piece of property that she was truly entitled to. But somebody witnessing what happens here, that the Beis Din goes and writes this document, and she takes a piece of property, works on it, improves it, and then has to give it back, and then get another piece of property that wasn't improved, we'll look at Beis Din as Beis Din isn't honest. And we're concerned for the reputation of Beis Din. And therefore, it has to be very clear that she only has a lien on properties that he inherited from his brother, and that's why this drachta was a disqualified one.